Holy shit, it's Harold Faltermeyer. Those of you who recognize this Super Slice of soundtrack should now be jumping in the air, fisting the sky in exultation. For those of you who don't, however, my name is not Alfonso. I'm Cash, and returning to the studio today is the eponymous hero Tango. There's also this third guy called Tarnsman, I guess. He's kind of like Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon. Although I've never seen the guy, so I can't confirm that he's also short. But there you are. Today on Tango TV, we bitch at the community and go off on many wonderful tangents. Well, more specifically, we go through a big list of some of the community's latest offerings, as well as some of those on the horizon. So if you're an author of any of those mentioned, keep this one bookmarked. If you're weak of heart, however, or don't like words for whatever reason, then you better sit this one out. Otherwise, sit back and enjoy. Also remember to check out our website, doomradio.org, and set up a shrine in honor of Bloodshedder and Sergeant Crispy. If the rapture comes, you want to be insured.
Last week on Tango TV, Program B, we were discussing sore spots and sore spot features. And the week before that, we're coming home a little bit now, just after three episodes. We were discussing community projects in the process, but today we're going to do a quick fire reviews, with some tangents on the side, hopefully, as you do, for some of the recent projects that have come out and upcoming from Doomworld. And we are joined by, well, we had to dust down the throne for this, to be perfectly honest with you. Put the drawbridge down. It's Tango.
It is I. I've returned.
It is he, and we are also, of course, joined by Tarnsman.
As always.
For this program. So, to give you a list.
Because it's your show, right?
In a way. So, just to give you a list of sort of things we'll be looking at today, and then I'll also be putting a list up on the thread and at the website, which is now doomradio.org. Go check that out. That'll be building itself up.
Bloodshedder.
Credits go to Bloodshedder, indeed. Yep. I've stepped to setting that up, and so we'll be building that up over the next few months, dressing it up a little bit, making it more attractive, hopefully getting more perspective interviews going, depending up there. But we'll also be putting up the list of the things that we're going to be reviewing or taking a look at and discussing today. So if you want to listen to something specific, just jump into the interview and into the episode, and you'll know where to skip to, roughly. So just to give you a list, Interception, Haterphobia, Bad Megawad, 2012 Doomworld Mega Project, Mayhem, perhaps, Back to Sunnext Episode 1, which is released in part recently, Brutal Doom Version 18, those are some things that have recently come out, and I may indeed have forgotten a few. Things that have yet to come out, but which we will be discussing anyway, because there's still enough to discuss, Go Pound It, which could be Go Hash It, but you know. Pound it, like the implications of that one. Doom 2 in name only, Doom 2 the way it did, Monochrome Mapping Project, Switcheroom, TNT 2 Devolution, Him, Heretic Community Project. There are a heck of a lot. I've just realized there are shitloads. H-Pack, Demonic Uprising, Nova, The Birth, Panophobia, Velopax, Supplice, where do we begin? Tarnsman, I think you were just romping through Haterphobia not a few minutes ago.
Literally just romping through Haterphobia. And Haterphobia kind of falls into the same bag as Interception, which is kind of an okay map set. Good maps, bad maps, bland maps. It's
below the belt.
Below the belt. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. No, actually, no. I think many of the authors involved in both of those projects, and I think they were more or less the same. Same authors, for the most part. Perhaps I'm wrong in saying that. I haven't investigated it enough. Although I certainly know Cell was bouncing around and Purist between the two. I don't know. I think I would be quite resigned to accepting, if you could call it a criticism, that the map sets were mediocre. Because I think it's sort of like a learning curve thing for them, for which they all felt they got something out of. That's the impression I got, anyway, from both Haterphobia and Interception.
I wouldn't call them mediocre. I would call them a mixed bag, if you would.
Okay.
There are maps in both that I really like, and there are maps that I you know, I didn't find very interesting, and there are maps that I thought, frankly, were pretty bad. But that's really the mixed bag you get with community projects, and it's part of the interesting parts of playing community projects is because of the accessibility, and because it's just, you know, make a map, and it vaguely fits this, that you are going to get good maps and bad maps and, you know, mediocre maps, and not everybody's going to agree on what maps are good and what maps are bad and so on and so forth, and I think that there's nothing wrong with a map set not being 100% good maps, especially if it's just something, hey, here's a
map
set.
Oh, no, that's fine. Actually, I think it's almost part of its charm if a community map set has... It's like, it's not really a community map set unless it has a couple duds in there. Then it feels proper. Like, I wouldn't know what to think of a community chest that didn't have a couple of duds. I'd probably be a little bit suspicious, actually.
And actually, it kind of goes back to TNT. The first real, not the first, obviously, but, you know, the community project that most people played first because it was commercially released, which has, you know, some good maps, some bad maps, some Mount Pain maps, and some bland maps. And yes, Mount Pain really does deserve to have its own category of bad.
Yes. Tango, just out of interest, how many recent map sets have you played? Have you played Interception or Hatophobia or Dabble?
I don't think I've actually played any of these recent map sets whatsoever. Usually what happens is I'll look at screenshots. That's about as far as I go. But then past that, yeah.
So unless you're enticed to play them by the screenshots? Or are you saying that even if the screenshots look good, you'll just say, I'll hold off for now. I'll be playing much.
Yeah, usually it depends on the screenshots. If I see it and it looks really great, I'll play it, but otherwise if it looks mediocre or I don't know. Mm. I think, like you were saying, most of these projects on Doomworld seem like they originate as... like a way for everyone to gain more experience rather than necessarily like to make the most kick-ass map set.
Sure.
So, I guess maybe that's part of the reason I don't play them that much.
Anyway, I was sticking with Hatophobia and Interception. But particularly Hatophobia, because I'm just like to, Wild Huntsman has played that recently, just like to capitalize on that. It is, of course, unique in that it's you could be more critical of it as a whole because of its central premise, which is that it's supposed to be a story-driven map set. Tarnsman, what do you think about that?
I think that trying to tell a story in Doom is a horrible, horrible idea. Regardless of how good the story... It's just... Doom is a game that's not a central story-based. And first off, just relegating the Hatophobia story to just the text, at least map sets like Hell to Pay and Perdition's
Gate, yeah, they had that all set up, yeah.
They had that set up, but at the same time, Doom is really a, you know, load map, shoot monsters, don't care. And trying to tell a story in it, especially, you know, the text-wise, really... Intermission screens are a bad way to tell a story simply because you don't have that much room to jam text, and text screens between each map requires, you know, Z-Doom formatting or Eternity, and nobody wants to read that, and voice acting in Doom rarely turns out well. So just Doom is not designed to tell a story. It's a game that has gameplay, and really, that's it. That's all it needs, and I don't think that Hatophobia suffers from that, because the maps are, you know, they're still maps, they play fine, they're like, off the top of my head, something like, map 4, I think it was, it had a really cool area that reminded me of a Back to Saturn X E2 map, where a portion of it flooded, which is also something that happens at the end of Nation Gone Dry, Jimmy's Back to Saturn X Episode 2 map, and I thought that was really cool, but there was like a lot of really bad monster placement. Monsters just kind of were clustered in groups. There didn't seem to be any thoughts to the monster placement other than, I'm going to put monsters in that map, and stuff like that, or like map 10 has a really, really horrendously glaring HOM on a lift in it that's just, like, blatantly obvious, and I'm actually surprised that nobody caught it and fixed it, because it's just right there in your face.
Well, that's
Some, like, you know, just the little things like that, off the top of my head, that you don't see in more polished projects, but despite the fact that the project's a learning curve project, I do think that there's merit to that, to having a project specifically designed around that. In fact, The Birth, I think it is a project specifically designed around that premise, unlike something like Interception or Hatophobia, where you see a lot of, not necessarily new, but very... I don't want to use the word primitive because that sounds bad. Mappers who are slowly tweaking their style and not necessarily amateur, because I know that has negative connotations to it, and technically we're all amateur mappers, but the kind of
less
learning
experience.
Less experience, I guess, would be the most neutral way to put it. But the kind of people who would be using these projects as learning curves that are present in a lot of, you know, Hatophobia and Interception, despite the fact that The Birth is specifically designed, hey, new mappers, make maps for this as a learning curve project. And I think that a lot of the old guard not playing new stuff like Hatophobia and stuff, something because, that looks mediocre and I don't have time for that, I think that is kind of detrimental. And I do really try to play all the new releases, even if I know I'm probably not going to like them all that much. Like, things like DTST, I didn't play through DTST to hate it. I played through DTST because it's a project that somebody devoted 10 years of their life to, and they put all this effort.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you also went to the time and effort to put out a lengthy and, I thought, rather fair review on new stuff, and so that's proof enough that you do want to give new mappers their time and their due, even if their due is, you know, this is quite woeful. And an interesting point, I think, perhaps it was actually Essel that made it, I can't remember, perhaps it might have been you on the thread before a slicer that went to hell, that is the observation that, you know, these mappers need to be told that their work stinks sometimes. In some quarters, rather than getting praise for things that, you know, would actually damage them as a mapper in the long term.
And yeah, like, I think DTST was a great example of that, before I streamed it, and I will make no lies that several people who have criticized that map set never actually played it and merely watched me endure through it, which, you know, they saw it, so they can criticize it. But that's really the only way they got exposed to it, because they would have never downloaded it, so it kind of would have stuck in that, you know, small circle of people just endlessly praising it instead of, you know, getting feedback saying, hey, we kind of don't like this, you know, maybe you should focus on this stuff. And I think for a new mapper, people telling you your maps are bad, if they are, is really important. Like, I say it all the time, I kind of get upset if I don't get enough feedback, because I feel like damaging to growing as an artist or as a designer, you know, to just kind of stay within your comfort bubble and everybody always tell you, yeah, this is good, instead of, hey, you know, maybe you might want to fix this.
Okay, so just to conclude with Interception Hatophobia before we go to the next ones, quite good on the whole. Would you recommend it? Either of those?
I'd say
I'm bundling them together here, and I really shouldn't be. But
I have not talked about Interception yet, but Hatophobia on itself, I'd say if you want to kill some time, play a Doom map set, I'd say yeah, it's definitely nowhere near the worst. I mean, it has its quirks, but enjoyable for the most part, with a couple exceptions of just eh, but never anything like truly awful.
Sure.
So
okay. Actually, before we go to Interception, because I know Tango might have an opinion on the Tango. You must have taken note of the bad Megawad thread that
yes.
came up recently, in which the
I've seen that.
To make. Yes, the evolution of the concept for that was quite interesting. I think was it Mr. the Joshman?
came up with I've seen that guy.
So I'm just chuckling because of the name. Mr. the Joshman came up with the idea deliberately to make bad Megawads, but I didn't get the impression. Maps, but I didn't get the impression that it was in order to demonstrate to the viewing player base, the playing player base rather, what you shouldn't do during map making. I thought the initial purpose was just to make bad maps. Almost as like a just for the hell of it, and then it sort of evolved into a point where you were supposed to demonstrate what not to do with that. What's your take on the whole setup there?
Well, when I the earlier post that Mr. the Joshmon made on Doomworld, he was one of those people that was making threads about his watch and posting links and screenshots, and nobody was really saying anything. And he kept making these self-degrading posts about, oh, well, obviously my levels are shitty because nobody's playing them or giving me feedback. So I would gander that that's probably where the idea came from. He was like, oh, well, everyone hates my mapping, so I'm just gonna make shit and label it as shit from the beginning, and then it's okay. Which is actually what he says in the opening post. If you look at the thread, we've all made crap, especially me. In fact, I've made many craptacular maps. Wow. So,
yeah. He's actually kind of lucky almost that it went in the direction it did. If you could consider that luck, I don't know. In any case,
yeah. Like I said, I haven't really been keeping up with it lately because
no, but it's pretty bizarre, really. I think it's quite telling of the community of the community's attitude towards community projects at present, that it could take off so easily. I mean, like, if someone came up with that idea, like, say, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I have no doubt it would have been held immediately and just would never have gotten off the ground otherwise. But
mm-hmm.
but now people are quite enthusiastic about that. Yeah, I'll do that for that. That's fine, kind of fun. And it got 32 maps in under a week, something retarded like that.
Is it? It's already done in all.
Yeah,
it's out and compiled in one of the worst ways possible.
Tom's
wow! What the hell?
I played it, and I actually want to talk about it. And the concept of we're going to make maps, and they're just going to be bad, and you can accept that and really look at them and examine them. It's a good concept. I like the idea of, hey, I don't make good maps, but I'm going to make a bunch of maps, and you can really look at them and, you know, view them and see what they did right and what they did wrong. And mm-hmm. I really love TNT for that exact reason. TNT is the perfect example of a map set that has a bunch of good qualities that are dragged down by absolute bad qualities, all in the same map oftentimes.
Map 27.
Yeah, yes. And that's one of the things I really like about TNT, because TNT is the perfect map set. As a player, Plutonia beats it every time. But as a mapper, I think you really need to look at TNT, especially when you start mapping out. It's a great example of what not to do and when not to do it. And I think that a map project, like bad map project, like you said, could serve as a really good teaching tool to players, to showing them, you know, hey, don't do this, don't do that, you know, here's a cool concept, like that Crusher thing in Purest Sun map, you know, little things that, you know, every once in a while, even in a bad map, you're going to see some cool stuff that, you know, hey, let's integrate this in a much better setting to where it can reach its full potential.
Sure.
And I think that just purposely making really crappy maps, like the map project turned out, is frankly a waste of time and a pointless map project. And I think the end result is absolute garbage, and it serves no purpose and should never have been made.
But it's absolute garbage for more than just the quality of the maps, as you just pointed out. So,
yeah, it's absolute garbage for the pointlessness of it. Like, I might as well play Mach 2, or whatever. You know, there's been a bunch of projects that are, this is a bad map set, it's bad on purpose. Anybody can make something bad on purpose. Bad on purpose, unless it's masterfully done, like Garth Marenghi's Dark Places.
Yes.
Really, really doesn't work, okay? It's like Tommy Wiseau made The Room, and The Room is a hilarious masterpiece. What did Tommy Wiseau go on to... Tommy Wiseau realized, hey, people like me because I'm so bad, I'm good. And then he purposely started being bad, and he wasn't nearly as entertaining because it doesn't have the charm of something that's...
That's an excellent comparison.
Just
that puts everything into perspective.
And so, why, yes, you can, if you really put the time and effort and devote the energy to it, make something like Dark Place, which is purposely so bad it's good. But that's a rarity. And when you try just, hey, we're going to make bad maps to make bad maps, because look at us, we can do this. Whoop-de-fucking-do. I mean, it's not impressive. They're bad, and they're not funny. It's like, you know, people complain how joke wads are dead. Well, that's because nobody wants to make something funny. Like, I've only briefly played through part of the community is Falling 3 and heard talk about a community is Falling 4 based around the plethora of recent drama in the Doom community. And, you know, as a joke map set, because effort was put into them. You know, you can look at something like Community is Falling 3 and see that time and it wasn't just, I'm going to draw a bad map and it's funny because it's a bad map. I mean, that's, you know, that's like a fart joke. Nobody cares anymore.
Thompson, I hope you can keep up this ranting quality for the next 20 topics we have, megawatts we have on the list today. That pretty much wraps up everything I wanted to hear and say about Bad Megawatt in a nice little lunchbox. That's excellent. And I think we can conclude that it's rubbish. Incidentally, though, if it was rubbish for just the quality of maps, then I think it would be true to say that the mediocre maps in Mapset, and from what I've heard and what I've seen since I saw Jimmy do a playthrough of it recently, there are actually some barely playable, almost playable maps. Those maps are truly the worst in the set, if we're just to talk about quality and not about it.
There are some maps like Map 22 that like what is this doing in the map set? I think Map 22 is the best map in the Bad Map Megawatt project, which it's still a pretty map, but yes. it's one of the maps that you're like, oh, why is this here? Like, oh, I don't think this person understood the premise of the map. And, you have people like Zazer who make a map for it, like detail.map, and that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I love Zazer, but this is why make that map. It doesn't contribute anything, and it's degrading what could be, like, the Birth or Bad Map Megawatt projects that could exist just purely like, hey, I'm not good at mapping, here's a bad project, criticize, thanks. And to a much broader degree than here's my first map, what do you think of it? And you get 5 replies, and that person never really gets constructive criticism and never makes a map again.
I would just like to point out that I may or may not have just injected the Pants song after that mention of Sazer's map in the map set. and only some people will understand what the hell I'm talking about there. Anyway, moving on to 2002, Doomworld Megan Project, which is sort of similar, I think, in a sense, because that really was, everyone must make a map, obviously. Not everyone did. I think they got 40 all in all, maybe a little bit more. Anything you make will be included. That's going to have some adverse effects on how you approach your map, I imagine. And sure enough, when playing through it, it was a mixed bag, but with the mixed bag heavily, heavily on the shit side.
I know for a fact there were several my first maps in there. I think the first map is literally Cannonball's first map. And then there were some things where it's just obvious the person who made it didn't even try, like Blood Octagon and Star Dan.
Sure.
Where it's literally just a box with monsters in it. The kind of stuff that it's like, why? I mean, just to make a map? Maps don't have to be intricate and beautiful and all the, like, the things that gets associated with the quote-unquote elitism of mapping, but they should at least, if they're not going to be that interesting, still have, moderately engaging gameplay to where I could open up the map and say, that was 5 minutes of my time. Do I feel angry for playing that? No.
Tango, why didn't you participate in the 2012 Doomworld Mega Project? It said all members of Doomworld. You were there.
That was posted quite a while ago, if I remember correctly. I think it. I sort of expected it to turn out like it sounds like it actually turned out. I mean, from what I understand, the goal was to get as many people to make a map as possible, regardless of quality. So, being the elitist Back to Saturn X member that I am, it didn't. I don't know. It didn't sound like something that was worth contributing to. Like, if I was going to make, I'm not going to contribute to something if there's not a guarantee that it's going to be quality, and if there's no guarantee that it's going to be quality, then I'll just make something for myself or, release something on my own. It doesn't seem worth it to put my name in a map pack of half shit and half, mediocre stuff. Not that I'm saying that's what the Y actually is, because I haven't played it. But
I imagine if I wanted to submit a Map 20 community project, I would want it to have coverage. And it seems to me that including a map set where it doesn't really have any draw to it other than these maps exist because I asked you to create them. You can create it in any, it can be limit removing, Boom, Z-Doom, and sure enough, it runs the gamut there, the entire thing. This, to me, is just not attractive prospect to map for in any way. Except for in one way, I find that with something like that, if I want to experiment with something, which I think was Ebb's approach when he made a map for it, said, sure, I'll make a map for this. And then he did something completely crazy. Not something that you would really want to necessarily get any serious coverage at all. I think it was basically an assortment of an eclectic textures, a combination of, like, Wolfenstein and Bloodfall and just absolute insanity. If anyone's played, I can't remember the name of it. It's like Abraxas. Abraxas, yeah. Absolutely. See, that's a fantastic map because it felt appropriate for the project, I find. But you can't guarantee that everyone's going to take it that way. And sure enough, you know, again, mixed bag. I hate that phrase.
The concept is cool because, I mean, you know, it's like supposed to be a, you know, Doomworld mega team where everyone makes a map and you end up with something great. But obviously that's not exactly what happened, and without strict quality control, that's not going to happen. But the concept of having everyone contribute and being a tight-knit community effort is cool.
Sure.
See, going back to Abraxas, the odd thing about Abraxas is, though, and I know this is just kind of, I have to say this because not many people played it. The final map of Back to Saturn X Episode 3, which Ed made two areas for and then said he couldn't finish the map, and I took it over and finished the map. And I had to adapt his style. All the architecture in that map is that same completely warped style, just done with, you know, better texture selection, to the point where that didn't really feel experimental. I know a lot of people said, ooh, that's all whack and crazy. But as somebody who made an entire gigantic, to the point where it breaks the block map, and I had to go and fix everything, and the whole thing's tied together with duct tape. Somebody who made an entire map that size in that style, it was just like, oh, Ed just made another map like this. Kind of like an Interception, Frankenfrag, or Frankfrag, I always call him Frankenfrag. Frankfrag's map 14, it's got this cool curved architecture, it's this big floating thing. His E3 Back to Saturn X map is literally the same map, just with Back to Saturn X textures, and about five times harder.
Well, and did we even conclude on Interception, now that I think about it?
No, we didn't.
And no, let's get to that now before we go on to Mayhem and Back to Saturn X.
I'd say that Interception was had quite a few really good maps. Map 32, Valkyrie Forces, John Romero map, really surprised me. And I like to see him working outside of his standard Valkyrie Force, arcadey, gimmicky gameplay concept stuff. And it was pretty cool to see him make a map like that. And, you know, Frank Frag's map, Purist maps were pretty good. There were quite a few good maps. C5... billion numbers that I never remember did a map late E3 or mid E3 that I thought was pretty cool. It was pretty bare bones, but it was a pretty fun map.
C3ON9, yeah, I remember that for some reason.
Yes, but my biggest problem with Interception is, my God, did it start dragging. Cyber Demons, every map, which I think is a pretty big no-no for me personally. I think it degrades them as a monster, and it gets boring to fight them. And then there were a lot of just sloggy, heavy monster, to the point where not even like
Potus's maps typically with the supermassive ones near the end.
Yes, and
pretty punctuated at this point for you.
One or two of them would have been fine, but as many as there ended up being, it kind of just got. It was too much. It was too dense. It didn't have enough diversity, and I thought that the map set kind of fell apart there. Also, I don't really like Matt Dog's maps, even though he was a project leader, so sorry. I thought they were generally the weakest maps in the set. Especially, he did the starting, I think, 4. And Phobos Demos' maps, which they didn't finish, or because, you know, obviously, sadly, he passed away, and, you know, they didn't touch them. I still thought, even though they were blatantly untextured, those were pretty good maps. I really enjoyed them. Map 15 and map 5, they were all very bare bones in the texturing, but architecturally and gameplay-wise, I really liked playing through them, and there was something else that kind of... every single track in Interception after, like, map 15 felt like the same track, just remixed. Like, the music really blended together, and I thought that kind of dragged down the map set a lot.
So, all in all, I don't even like putting figures on these things, but...
Yeah, it was fun to play through. I unfortunately played through it with a certain mod that we'll get to, but...
Oh, dear. Oh, I'd forgotten about that, actually. We were doing such a good job of reviewing the actual maps that are on point that we'd forgotten we'll be using that gameplay mod. Now, Tango.
Yes.
Brutal Doom.
Have
you used it?
I have before. I went through a very short Brutal Doom phase near when it first came out, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then the more you play it, it's like, wow, this really fucks up the original gameplay of this map that I intended to have. And the more you play it, the more I felt like that. I don't feel as strongly against it as some community members quite obviously do. I'm sure Tarnsman is one of the more adamant ones. Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
I mean, I haven't played it myself. Actually, no, I did for about 5 minutes. I didn't like it. But I could see how other people would, for a start. And you know, it's easier for me to pinpoint the things that I dislike than those things that I imagine other people would like. Although I know Tarnsman does like a few elements of it, such as the rifle and some of the... Actually, you quite like just some of the absurd sort of gore effects, but didn't like the way that they were sort of...
Okay, Brutal Doom, I wouldn't say that I dislike it, more that I don't care about it at all. Like, when people complain about Brutal Doom and, you know, all the crap that Sergeant Mark IV pulls, it's just, it's stuff that... Like, I don't find any of it offensive or tasteless, because I'm one of those people who I don't find anything offensive. Like, I didn't find his racist remarks offensive, but it's just so pointless that it's like, okay. I mean, I understand that, you know, it makes the gameplay more vicious, I guess would be the best way to positively describe it, and there are things that I'd like and like to see expanded. Like, if Brutal Doom went full jokey, obscene gore, like, you shoot a zombie man with a rifle and they explode like they do with the rocket launcher. Basically, to me, Brutal Doom should be every weapon is the rocket launcher, the gibs are equally ridiculous, the fatalities aren't, you know, you shoot a crawling away zombie man. The crawling away zombie man's like, screw you, I'm a zombie man, crawls at you and then just explodes into a million gibs while dealing damage to you. Just insane, crazy stuff like that, to the point where it's so absurdly gory that it transcends the line. It just crosses it as many times as it wants. It doesn't even care.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the absurdity and humor of it, those elements of it I liked, but I wasn't able to enjoy them as much as I should have, and indeed could have, if it weren't for the fact that there are so many elements of the gameplay that it just slow things down. Like, I can't use the berserk. Actually, I'm pretty sure I can use the berserk without engaging in fatality mode, but I don't know, just certain little cutscenes and colorways and just getting in the way of things that I have to... Like, a zombie will drop to his knees and I have to spend 10 minutes bashing his face and just to shut him up when I should be running along and getting on with the rest of the map. So I think it hampers, in a way.
The player speed is reduced as well, isn't it?
I think maybe when you're bleeding. I don't know. Anyway, version 18 just came out recently, so this is more of a view of that, although I can't actually strictly remember what was added to it. I think it's more of a hampering sort of thing.
It was more of the hampering thing. The zombie men fatalities were added. There was one where you pick up a zombie man, and I think this is a perfect example of where it fails and where it succeeds. One of the shotgunner fatalities has you impale the shotgunner with his own shotgun and then blow him completely into a million gibs. And stuff like that is absurd, and I enjoy that. And then another one has you take a zombie man, throw him to his knees, and then just, like, rifle butt him until you crack in his skull. And it's not so overblown that it's just like, okay, whatever, I don't care, you know, that's at least within the realm of possibility, to the point where, you know, I don't find it the same way I find impaling a shotgunner with his shotgun and then giving him into a million pieces. Sure. Hilarious.
So you, in a way, you sort of feel like Brutal Doom needs to find an extreme and stick with it.
Yes, absolutely.
And that extreme preferably needs to be humor. Just, because, yeah, there are absurd elements of it, and that's what I like about it. Although ultimately, I'm afraid it screws with things too much. I agree with Tank on that front.
Oh, absolutely. The shotgunners, you know, are a lot more dangerous. Hit scanners are pretty irritating. Stuff like that.
Is it true that somebody once commented on your inclusion of a spider demon in your map 6 of Doom 2 Redux and said that you have to move it around because it was too big in Brutal Doom.
Yes, in Brutal Doom, it is stuck and will not fire and just nothing because it's too big. I don't know if that's been recently fixed, but when Brutal Doom came out...
That must have put a sour taste in your mouth.
Oh, it absolutely did. My feelings with this are Brutal Doom, and I've stated this before, I don't give a crap what gameplay mod you play with. Just don't ask mappers to balance their maps around your gameplay decisions.
Okay.
I'd like to really quickly talk back about Hatophobia to another part I just remembered.
Oh, sure.
There's a teleporting spider mastermind fight, and I believe it's map 11, might be map 12.
Oh, you know, it's map 11, I think, yeah.
That's really cool, and I really liked it. I thought it was a really interesting way to use the Spider Mastermind.
Absolutely. Very good. Actually, yes. I do agree. Haven't played it myself. Now then, episode 1 of Back to Xenix came out recently, and this we have two mappers here on the panel today. So this could give way to bias, but we could talk about the reaction and what to anticipate for future episodes at the moment.
I would actually like to point out that Processing Control, who did a wonderful post giving us a lot of things to talk about, posted, having a non-member of Back to Saturn X being part of the conversation would make the discussion more balanced. I'd like to point out that Alfonso is not a member of Back to Saturn X in any way, shape, or form.
I attempted to at one point, but I ousted myself from the project, so I don't think I had the discipline to carry through.
Well, but he still got insider information, right? You still registered on the...
I did, and I posted two posts.
He
doesn't contribute to playtesting.
I was supposed to do all that, but honestly, I don't want to subject myself to Essel's tyranny, so that's that. I can certainly concur with the main criticism to an extent of Back to Saturn X and those that say it's very samey, but I think something that myself and Tarnsman pointed out during the cooperative playthrough of Bat Cynic some time ago was that there are certain elements, I think, especially considering the mappers that are involved in the project, certain elements of design that are going to be better appreciated by those who have been a part of the process or who are maybe veteran enough mappers in order to sort of pick out the intricacies in design that separate those maps from one another. From a perspective of one who just goes through playing one community project to the next, and you know, even if you play something like Interception, there's a lot more diversity on the face of it than there will be in Batson X Episode 1, just because Batson X Episode 1 is all tech bases, and the sky doesn't change from start to finish. And on the face of it, I can certainly see that criticism. Yes.
I would disagree purely because, just as an experiment to see this, I actually had a buddy of mine who doesn't play Doom play through Back to Saturn X, and he liked it, and he thought the maps were diverse, and he did not think that they were very similar. I asked him, you know, he thought the theme of it always being a tech base was pretty similar, but he was able to, you know, pick out different maps, and it didn't feel very samey to him, and that's somebody who doesn't play Doom.
Well, I would just like to point out that I agree with him. Just trying to come from the perspective of those who disagree with your point there. Tango, how many maps did you make for it? Just the two?
I've got one map in episode one, which is the finisher. Tuskin River.
Yep.
And then I also have a second map in the second episode. But I think someone, maybe Essel, had pointed out pointed this out before in the Doom World thread for Back to Saturn X, but while I also understand some of the complaints about the supposed lack of variance, it's not really fair to judge the whole product yet, because Back to Saturn X is three episodes. You gotta wait for the other two episodes before you can really say how varied we are or are not.
It needs to be judged as a whole. I guess I've always been confused as to whether I should judge Back to Saturn X. Just wait until Final Judgment and judge it as a whole rather than separate episodes. I guess I'm inclined to do the former.
No, I would judge it each individual episode as its own thing, because it's each individual episode as its own map set, and while there is a larger project, the same thing is we did release 23 tech-based maps, or 24 technically. to the point where somebody could say, well, maybe episode one shouldn't have been 24 maps. Maybe it should all just be one map set.
But there were too many quality maps, Thompson.
Of course, I have, you know, what I've got, what, two maps in episode one. I've got four, possibly five.
I would just like to point out at this juncture, because I think this is hilarious. How many maps have you made, Thompson, and how many have actually been released?
I have made, let's see here, 9 Doom 2 the way it did maps. I have made probably 15 Back to Saturn X maps, counting my E3 stuff.
Doom 2 Redux?
Doom 2 Redux I have made, counting the Hell maps that I deleted after making them, 21 maps.
Wow.
And exactly 2 maps have been released, and they're not even on id Games because Back to Saturn X is not official yet. Episode.
This is you don't have any authority to speak on maps at all.
I have.
It would be a great set of pot calling the kettle black because I released fuck all myself. Anyway, yes. So you think perhaps some of these complaints would be alleviated with the release of episode 2 and 3? And particularly 3, I think.
Possibly, but if somebody doesn't like it, they don't like it. And, oh well. Like, I'm not going to get crotchety because somebody doesn't
like it. It takes a lot to make you cry. I understand.
Whoop-dee-doo, you don't like it, all right. You know, everybody has their opinion. And some people like certain things. And, you know, it's what it is. If, you know, I may really like the maps of Back to Saturn X. I think it's probably one of the few, if not the only, map sets that I like every single map. I mean, it and Platonia are pretty much that. But, you know, like, I'll be honest, I don't like the, it's not the Annex anymore, it's Cyclone Utilities by Simon Judd. I think it's long.
No, Thompson, say the whole name.
Cyclone Utilities, Remember Your Birthday. I know how much you love. I think that map kind of drags, and I think the back half of U.S. Mustard Company doesn't live up to its front half. And, you know, I'll be honest that there are things that I don't like, but as a whole, like, even...
Honestly, the fact that you're speaking of halves of certain maps' quality just does the whole thing more justice and speaks highly of everything.
Well, like I said, like, I don't like Cyclone Utilities as a Back to Saturn X map. I still think it could use some real polish, and of course this happens.
Absolutely. So, moving on to Tango then, just to... Are you satisfied with Back to Saturn X and your involvement with it? I guess the first one's pretty easily on.
Am I satisfied with Back to Saturn X as a whole? No. Or episode one, at least? yeah, definitely.
I was waiting for a curveball. Damn.
Well, when Essel brought me onto the project and, you know, obviously, like everyone else, I was excited to be part of the project and be working on this map set. And the more and more I worked on it, I sort of, I had this expectation that Back to Saturn X would become what I wished, you know, like Alien Vendetta and Darken 2 could have been, because I love both of those map sets, but
sure.
they're a little bit dated, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So I saw Back to Saturn X as, you know, my ideal vanilla megawatt, I guess. So for what's in there so far and what's been released, I'm satisfied, and I'm really happy to have been part of the team. I've actually only, some of the maps I've only played through once, which was very recently. Mm. As far as my own contributions go, I wish I had done more. I don't know how... My single episode one map took me months. And it was sort of a miracle because I usually can't spend that long on a map and have something I'm satisfied with. And then Tarnsman, on the other hand, comes into the project when almost everything is done and then doubles the amount of map.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's quite insulting, actually.
So...
Oops. What did I just say? Anyway, yeah, absolutely. And were you on board very early on, I guess, like from the inception? Granted, the inception was pretty far back, I think. That took a while to snowball.
Right. I think at the inception, Essel had a bunch of other people involved in the project that aren't involved with it now, like Craigs and Morpheus. And obviously, they're not part of the team anymore. But no, I was still a little bit late to the game, or I thought I was. I think Vader and Mechadon and Ed had already all been making maps by the time I joined. But
I noticed you also used the past participle with "I was part of the team." Did you turn tail and run when the when the playtesting session came around? That's a nightmare.
I don't know if you're asking that as an innocent question or or if you're accusing me. That is kind of what happened. when I came to playtesting, I do this no matter what. I guess it doesn't matter how high quality the screenshots are. I never just fucking play anything. I didn't really test much, actually. I looked at people's maps and I told them that I gave feedback just based on visuals, and I didn't really ever play anything. I did kind of turn the other way and run.
We have Hawkwind for the more intricate playtesting sort of
technique. Going back to what I was saying before, I got a business call because I always get business calls. Cyclone Utilities, remember your birthday. I think it's probably the weakest, second weakest. There's another map in E2 I probably don't like even more. But I think it's the weakest E1 map. I still think it's a good map. I just think, there's things in it that I'm not really a big fan of. And speaking of Tango's involvement in the project and how tyrannical Essel is, and by extension, as his yes man who sits on his shoulder like a cackling monkey, how tyrannical I am, Tango was actually originally supposed to be the back half of map one.
Wow.
And Tango...
Oh, no.
Whole thing.
Tango didn't finish the map, and Essel was like, finish the map, and I'm like, Tango, finish the map. And so Tango gave me his back half of the map, and then I tried to work it into something, and Essel said, I hate everything, and so we just ended up scrapping it and remaking it.
So Essel's the asshole in this case here, not you.
Oh, no, Essel was going to make the map by himself, and then I just deleted all your work and part of Essel's work and made it myself.
Cut to commercial. Let's move on, I think. This is only supposed to be a sort of a quick review segment. We still have quite a lot of things to do. Although I say review, the maps that we're about to get to haven't actually been released yet, but I do feel that there's a lot to talk about for them. Pretty much all of them are very recent, released within the last year. At longest. Go Pound It, which is actually started by C3ONNINE, who we recently mentioned. I say Go Pound It, of course, because they go hash it. Go hashtag. I don't know what you Americans say, but...
it's called the pound sign in America.
Just the pound sign? Go the pound sign it. Okay, Go the pound sign it is aiming to take maps from the original iWOD and reimagine them in the style of Go To It. It's snowballing pretty well. I think it was initially intended to only be 11 or 14 maps, I can't remember the figure, but escalated pretty quickly into 32. What do you think about it?
I actually think that it's a terrible idea. here's how I say it.
Tarnsman is the asshole in this game.
First off.
We've moved on, Tango. We've moved on.
There's something hilarious about a Plutonia map set designed around remaking the original maps, considering the fact that half of Plutonia maps are just original maps remade, and that's one of the things I've always loved about Plutonia, and when I recently played through Plutonia, I pointed that out to you, and you never had noticed just how true that was.
It is true.
And so that's one of the things I find hilarious about the premise of the project, but more importantly, 32 maps of Go To It, you might as well play Slaughterfest, and even then, it's just... Go To It worked because it was one map at, a very special spot. A lot of people don't realize this about Plutonia, but most of Plutonia's maps have under 100 monsters. Plutonia is a great example of good monster usage. So when you had something like what's pretty much the first Slaughter map come out, it was, oh, wow, this is, just, oh, my God, what am I playing? And, it had gravitas. It existed and impact, and because it was... one map. 32 of it?
I'll quote you on that. The last noise you made. I'll see if I can put it into letters. This is from. Tango, obviously none of us have played this. Sorry, but there's equal opportunity for discussion, I guess, on this front. What do you think about the concept?
I think Tarnsman on the whole feels very differently than I do about things being worth it to make, I suppose you could say.
Sure.
I don't know if I would enjoy 32 maps of Go To It or Go For It
Go command it.
Yeah. I know there are members of the community who obviously would. That's why the project has taken off. I see it as similar to there are not necessarily everyone is going to enjoy 23 tech based maps and back to Saturn X with the same sky and yada yada.
No, absolutely. I don't if people want to play it, by all means. But what's my opinion on it? Why don't I like it? That's why I don't enjoy it, and I think it's, you know, I think it's an idea that could have potential to make, you know, just, hey, Plutonium had a bunch of maps that were reimaginings of the Doom 1 and Doom 2 maps, like, you know, and sometimes extremely blatant. Like, you got Neurosphere, and then right after that you have Enemy, which is blatantly rips off parts of E2M1. But,
oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
true. Yeah. But that's what I really, like, I think the Plutonium maps were, we're going to focus on making maps that are really fun to play, and we'll just recycle concepts because, you know, that's what we're going to
do. So what you're saying is, Tansman, that if it weren't for the slaughter aspect of Go hashtag it, then it's entirely possible that they'll actually end up with the actual sequel to Plutonia. The Plutonia 2-2. I mean, like, C3ON9 is making a Go-to-it version of O of Destruction. And once he completes it, if he does it properly, he might realize, oh shit, I've just made Map 21 Slayer. Oh god, I've just remade Plutonia. And just imagine the possibilities.
I would really like to see that, but there's also the fact that, you know, Plutonia did have some maps that were entirely original, even if, you know, they were just kind of, you know, like sewers. Tombstone had some areas that kind of were taken from other places. Kind of like sewers have the, you know, monster condo and suburbs portion of it. But speaking of C3ON9's Circle of Death, 5 million Circle of Death remakes, that just, you know, comes down to project quality. And I looked at those screenshots and they're pretty meh, to be honest. I think, like, for example, he has a screenshot of what he did with the circle in Circle of Death. And it's not as tall. It doesn't have, you know, very not detailed, because obviously it's a Doom 2 map, but very broad and, you know, structurally complex exteriors like Romero maps did. There's a lot of, you know, things that I can say when looking at the screenshots, his version is overall worse. And I think that I wouldn't say that's a successful project, taking a map and making it worse.
Indeed.
Oh, goodness. Wow. That's quite a conclusion. I mean, we're about halfway through the list here. Still, therefore, quite a few more to go through. Is this just to conclude, I guess, because we can't give a rating of sorts as we did for the previous items on the list. But is Go Pounder something you're therefore looking forward to? Both Tansman and Tango.
I'm looking forward to it. I'd really like to see it turn out to be pretty great, and I really like to see how people reinterpret the maps.
Sure.
I don't expect it to be good, just to be perfectly honest.
Fine.
But, you know, if it's bad, oh well, people got to make maps, and if it's good, good. Then that's, you know, a cool idea that, you know, ended up not being executed the way I thought it would be and turned out well.
Sweet. Tango?
I feel similarly. If it ends up having some gems in there, then great. But I mean, my expectations aren't that high. Mm-hmm. But it's a cool idea. I will entertain the idea certainly.
Sure. I love surprises and I love being proved wrong. But I have to say, I'm in the same camp. Now, Doom 2, the way it did Arch Enemy, at least I regarded it as such, because at first I thought it was similar enough in concept. What with them imposing sort of restrictions on when items and monsters could be brought in, that sort of thing, is Doom 2 a name only. I don't regard it as such anymore. It's pretty clear that they're taking separate paths. But they were stealing some of the thunder, for a while at least, and the sinister side of me was planning on hatching a plot. No, just kidding. I was actually going to map for it.
Because I single-handedly resurrected Doom 2 the way I did. I just wanted to run through that.
You gloating.
Oh.
Anyway, yes, so the concept there with Doom 2 a name only is, as the title suggests, not a very good title. What I add, I think they've actually resigned to just calling it that, is to fashion maps based on a more literal interpretation, or indeed abstract, if you still prefer to keep it that way, of the original titles for the maps in Doom 2. which obviously in some cases would result in more or less the same sort of thing, like, I don't know, barrels of fun or Circle of Death. But in other cases, like Nirvana, could make something different. What do you think about that from what you've observed?
I can't get angry at the project because it would be an instance of the pot calling the kettle black. Because that's literally what I did with Doom 2 Redux, and I'm still doing because I plan on finishing that project. But literally, you know, the waste tunnels has very, you know, there are some maps where I just, you know, I'm going to stick in part of another map here because, again, I've mentioned this before and you asked me about it. The project really did just exist. I'm going to open Doom Builder and see if I can learn to map. And so, and it'd have to be as lazy as possible while working on that concept. Let me just remake the original maps because, you know, that won't require too much effort. Hey, Essel, are these good? Oh, they are. You should release this. Oh, okay. But, yeah, so the concept of just, hey, I'm going to make a map called this is actually what I've adopted a lot of in Doom 2 Redux, especially for the inmost ends and industrial. Like, my industrial zone, for the few people who have played it, and my factory bear no resemblance, really, to the original, other than the fact that they're an open map.
Right.
And just, I worked off that entire concept. So I think the concept of, hey, this is your map name, make a map that fits your map name is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine, I mean, you're drawing comparison between that and your Doom 2 Redux, but I imagine with certain maps that will be pretty different, like such as with the case with Nirvana or The Living End, where you'd be going more sort of directly for a recreation of the original map, and then you take a look at Doom 2 and Name Only's current map 21, I can't remember who it's by, which is just, I think it's like a wooden hut and a sort of deceptive paradise of some sort, as Nirvana actually implies.
You played, like, my current Nirvana that I'm working on, I haven't really touched it. I think you've played it when it was in the unfinished maps that half of them I'm deleting.
Unfortunately, it's one of those that I forgot pretty promptly.
Sorry. Well, it's virtually...
To say nothing of its quality, Thompson.
It's virtually nothing like, Nirvana.
Right.
So, no, it's more... Yeah, I think the concept of trying to make a map match it is good, and, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that, you know... That's why I really can get behind that concept, as I'm literally making that concept.
What about the actual maps themselves?
I have not played any of them.
You've not played any of them?
No.
But you've seen some screenshots, surely? I showed you a few Bruce's layouts.
Oh, well, that's a Bruce layout, so I already know what it is, even though I have no idea. I actually kind of do like Bruce's... Everything is rocky.
Noodles? Everything is noodles?
Yes. I guess that'd be the best way to put it. No, but I think I've seen part of Zazer's Wolfenstein remake, and that's about it.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if you... Tango, are you familiar with this project at all?
Yes. I actually just took a look through all the screenshots multiple times. My impression is that this looks pretty decent to me. I mean, obviously, it's just... one screenshot for every map, but from what I can see, they're doing a pretty good job.
Sure. I mean, we could talk about it two separate ways. We could talk about the quality of it as it stands, like the maps themselves. We could talk about the concept. And I guess concept-wise, unless you've played through the maps, then we're in the same playing field in terms of discussion. So what do you think about the sort of idea behind just taking a map name and then fashioning a map based on that name?
Well, I think it's a new way to make a map.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people are inspired by, sometimes I choose a music track and then I'll make a map based on, you know, what I'm thinking based on the music.
Yeah.
So if a vague title like Entryway or Underhalls.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If it wasn't supposed to be like Doom 2, then maybe I would have considered making a map for it.
Sure. No, I was actually really interested in making a map 3 for it called The Gauntlet, because I thought, because people always get confused as to the name of The Gauntlet, you know. Do they actually mean Gauntlet? As it turns out, it's just the military spelling of Gauntlet. It's not actually... Well, I mean, I was going to take the actual meaning of Gauntlet and go with a double train lines, train tracks, because that's what it is. But Bruce got there first, I think. or I surrendered my spot. But no, yeah, I mean, it's a lot more interesting to do that concept with Doom 2 than it would be with Doom, for example, because Doom is literally just, well, recycling plant, make a recycling plant. There's no abstract anything to it, unless you go up to E3 with Slow of Despair and, and stuff like that.
So, yeah.
I think Doom 2 has potential for that sort of concept, so I am very interested to see how that would turn out.
Oh, absolutely. That's one that I really would like to see. And what do I anticipate? I anticipate, you know, Interception, Hatophobia, a couple maps I'm really going to like, a couple maps that I'm really not going to like, and a bunch of maps that are, yeah, they're fun to play. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's almost depressing, that sort of answer, but I concur with that borderline nihilism, I have to say. Again, I'd like it to turn out well, and I'm anticipating some good numbers. But overall, ComC, ComSA. So next on the list is, it's our very own, oh goodness. We've talked about this far too much, but we're about to do so again. It's Doom 2 the way it did. which I guess Tango could probably talk about this a little bit more at length, because unlike myself and Timesman, who've been knee-deep in this shit for the last 8 months.
I've been pretty uninvolved.
Yes. I thought I caught you earlier saying that you weren't too keen, unless you was joking around, doing the way it did, which is perfectly fine. But maybe you're more interested in doing the way it did. Is there a distinction?
Between the two projects?
Yeah.
That's a tough question. If it's taking me this long to think of an answer, then I guess no, there's not really that much of a distinction for me. I'm just... I suppose you could say I've grown tired of the IWADs, and but I, you know, it has been a while since I've actually played through Doom 2, so you know, perhaps Doom 2 the way it did is something that would interest me when it actually comes out or when I actually get around to playing it.
It's interesting because I think that there are a fair number of the people who have participated in the project thus far. Who, I guess you could say, weren't too keen on the IWAD to start with, but once they started, or were otherwise tired of it, like yourself, and then once they dug into it, for various reasons, they started pointing out the intricacies and then became more involved with it, and then you know, there was a newfound appreciation for things there. Saying that was the case for many people. Some people I think Memphis, who submitted his first map to it called Mechanical, I gave him basically a PhD response to it, which is just far too bloody long. And he said, no, if you want me to go into that much depth, sorry, I'm not going to continue. And that's fine. I guess I scared him off.
I think
For me, that was always the charm, being able to go into mass depth. Appreciate
it. That kind of kept me from making Doom 2 the way it did maps until, like, what, 4 weeks ago when I finally made some. I made 9 maps in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Inhuman.
That's kind of the trepidation I kind of had going into Doom 2 the way it did was, you know, matching the style. And then, you know, I sat down and really looked at it and saw the laziness that exists in Romero's maps and, you know, the reuse concepts and pointed out stuff that, you know, even you and Essel hadn't noticed and was like, oh, this is really cool. Okay, here's some maps.
Sure.
I think once you really get into the idness of the maps and really see, you know, all the little intricacies.
The idiosity. Yeah.
Yes, the idiosity.
Or the idiocy, in fact. Yeah. Anyway, I've rather humorously pointed out in the past that I won't be satisfied with the project until those people who disliked Doom 2 also dislike Doom 2 the way it did. I don't know. It's one of the many funny quirks with this particular map that you must deliberately ensure that certain things are as bad as they were beforehand. Which incidentally is almost the case with TNT2, or how Townsman would like TNT2 to turn out, and saying
really
that you must ensure that there are certain maps that are just so hilariously inferior to the other ones so as to be a proper sequel.
TNT2, I want to see maps that I can play a map and be like, man, this is a really good concept, and like really, really enjoying the map, and then like Marcaic, get to the barbed wire fence stuff in map 20, and just be like, nope, I'm done.
Oh, that barbed wire discussion. I wasn't there around for it, but I hear it was something special.
that's what I'd see a proper sequel to TNT being, and I actually really would like to do Evolution the way TNT did, simply because I think the concept of making a map that has certain bad concepts in it, but having to do it in a very particular and special way, if you will, would be a pretty interesting experience. That not in the same way of I'm just going to make a bad map to make a bad map. I'm going to make a map that has a lot of potential, but has a lot of really bad stuff
in it. Sure. Just in conclusion for Doom to the Weird, that I have to say that I'm personally quite satisfied with it, because we've actually succeeded in not moderating our maps thus far in the way that you would typically expect of a modern community map set. Sort of polishing all the corners. We've left shit in that could be considered authentic because they're bad.
Actually,
or they're failures.
There's
like,
some stuff
like sector tagging teleporters that you can't get to for that sort of thing. I actually did in one of my maps, and I left it in. It was in there as a mistake, and I thought, no, fuck it, leave it.
There's actually some Jimmy mistakes in Jimmy's map 14 that he fixed after I told him to not fix them, and it really upsets me, and I'd like to see them unfixed.
Really, just the fact that we can say that just makes me happy. So, Tango, is it something you're looking forward to at all? I think you said so basically earlier that... sort of lost interest. We're a little bit tired of the IWADs, but maybe if it was breathed new life, you got 32 new Doom 2 maps, maybe.
Yeah, I'd be willing to give another playthrough. I think the intricacies that you are, the level of depth and thought that is being put into the project is sort of what scares me away partially.
Sure.
But yeah, I am looking forward to it, especially because so many people that I know, including yourself, are contributing stuff to it.
Sure. I mean, it's, I guess it, once it's released, it's comforting to know that when you're playing through it, you don't have to keep all those intricacies in mind. It's just that...
Right, I don't have to analyze it myself.
It has to feel like Doom 2, yeah.
Mm.
No analyzing required. that's what we're hoping for then. We'll touch up on... Actually, no, let's go to TNT 2 now and expand upon a little more. Tango, have you been paying attention to that thread in particular? It's been out for a while, of course.
I actually submitted a map for that. I haven't paid particular attention to the thread, but that's actually one of the few threads on Doom World that I check semi-regularly.
Sure.
Yeah.
And thus far, are you pretty happy with how it's progressed, otherwise? I mean, are there aspects that just don't seem TNT to you? Or do you just judge it just sort of as an aside, as its own?
I don't really know... That's the thing about, you know, TNT 2 or Plutonia 2. I'm not really sure if I should take it as... I'm not sure in what way they're intended to be sequels, which I think in both cases, in Plutonia 2 and the case of TNT 2, the methods, or the way in which the mappers are supposed to make it a sequel is kind of up to them.
Yes.
When I started making my map, I had to go through probably 3 or 4 failed attempts before I got something that I thought was worthwhile, because I wasn't sure what kind of a sequel this was supposed to be, if I was supposed to be making something shitty or something good, basically. Something shitty that felt like Plutonia, or that felt like TNT, or something good that looked like TNT.
Sure.
And... I think what the project has sort of become for me, the style of TNT, I guess, for me, or of TNT 2, has been sort of defined by Kika, or Kika, or I don't know how you can say it.
I think it's like,
yeah,
Hawaii, Kikia.
Okay. Yeah, he seems to have, I don't know, I love what he does, and it seems very...
He's
TNT,
fun, yeah.
but without the shit part of it.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, this is actually a discussion that myself and Townsend have had multiple times now, both on and off Program B, and it was discussed, I think, to some extent in the first episode. We were saying that, you know, how do you go about judging when you're playing a map set that's community-born or otherwise, do you judge it with respect? To what extent do you judge it with respect to what it's trying to be, what its goals are? And to what extent do you just judge it for being a good map set? And I think in the case of sequels, it doesn't necessarily... It isn't written anywhere that it has to... I mean, sure, it helps if it feels like the original. and the texture selection is going to help there to some extent in the gameplay, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But being a sequel, it can depart from it. It's not like something like Doom 2 the way it did, or Doom the way it did, where you're literally trying to make it exactly like the same thing, just different maps. So with a project like Doom the way it did, you'd be more critical of the maps with regard to what they're trying to be. And then with something like Plutonium 2 or TNT 2, you might just be saying, well, if it's a good map set, who cares? Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's sort of the stance that I take on it. I do agree that with Timesman that it would be nice to have like an evolution the way TNT did, in just including maps that are just horrendously awful alongside some better ones.
But even the worst maps of TNT, like Mount
Habitat.
Pain and Habitat, there are still some things in them that you're like, hey, if this wasn't in this horrible pile of crap, it'd be an interesting concept, and I'd like to see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Habitats, you can just run through the map, and there's, like, the entire map is optional. I actually really like that aspect. It's just unfortunate that it's applied to Habitat, where you don't want to go explore the rest of the map because it's Habitat.
Sure.
Whereas, yeah.
Now, Sele Otix, oh, goodness, I just horribly pronounced her name there. Sele. I'm not going to say the whole thing. It just screws up my tongue. Sele has submitted a rather interesting question. Tango, you speak quite often about and passionately about TNT and the mapping process. Why don't you jump on board?
Tarns? Not why Tango? No. You just said Tango. Why don't you speak of it? Tango is on board.
No, Tarns, I'm speaking to you. See, my tongue, my tongue. I screwed up. I fonzed it up.
Well, first off, TNT isn't something that I so much like as it's something that I find extremely fascinating.
Yes,
you
like talking about it. That much is true.
Yes, I do like talking about TNT simply because there's a lot of lessons that there's a lot of lessons to be learned in the TNT maps, and there's a lot of cool concepts. Map 12, Crater, has this really cool optional route that you can access when you get to the exit. And all it does is take you back to the beginning of the map, and it sucks for 100%ers because there's some monsters in there to kill. Doom 2 Redux, Map 27, I'm going to take that concept and do it entirely in reverse. The optional path exists from the start, and it's two different ways to go through the map. One way, straight, and the second way, winding through the existing map. So, like, in Crater, you know, you have the tunnels filled with water that let you peer in the existing map. A way to take that concept would be, like, you're going through side tunnels, and you come into a library, and in the main path, you go on the library floor, but in the alternate path, you jump across the top of bookshelves, and then you, like, go around a cliff face where you're on the cliff face on the alternate path, where on the main path, you'd be down in the, like, pit beneath the cliffs. Something where you're playing the same map, but you're getting more of a 3D feel to it because of the alternate path.
Great. And why aren't you mapping for it, man?
why am I not mapping for TNT 2? One, because I came in really late, and two, because I have no interest in mapping for TNT 2. I'd like to do Evolution the way TNT did, but TNT 2 is a map set where I can look at the screenshots of Kaika's Map 29, which has 1,100 monsters in a TNT map, which I think will, suffice to say, fill the hilarious quota, and look at him changing the map from brown to green or whatever he did. He posted some screenshots where nearly every single screenshot, he made the map worse by changing some textures in it. And
yeah,
how
disheartening.
I was like, and I think I posted that I liked the green version better, and some other people backed me up. And it's stuff like that that when I look through the TNT 2 thread and the barbed wire discussion, stuff like that, I'm just like, I have no interest. I'm going to play it when it comes out, and I hope it's good. But I also do hope it fulfills my TNT quota, and it's part good, part hilarious.
Well, you know, if you change your mind and you're interested, I'm sure you could take my map and entirely erase all the work I did, and then make your own map over it.
This vendetta has got to stop. This.
Oh my god.
Cut the commercial. Let's move on to.
Didn't Kaika rework your map already?
Yeah, he did actually. He did a really great job with it. What I gave him was only half done, and he kept almost everything in there that I gave him, and made something that I really, really liked.
Actually, playing it.
You what?
I look forward to playing it.
Oh,
it'd be interesting. Good. It'd be interesting to see where the tango stops and where the Kaika begins, and if I can, like, because your maps, I can notice a tango map, even though sometimes I kind of may confuse it with a skill saw map. Like the first time I played Toughskin River, I said, "Oh, hey, it's a skill saw map," and then Essel's like, "No, that's a tango map." I'm like, "Oh," because you both take heavily from Eric Alm.
Uh huh.
So that kind of it's a very obvious style that that pops out to the point where it'd be really interesting to see, you know, where what the tango in it is and what the Kaika in it is. So especially since I've been collabing maps recently and trying to match someone else's style.
Collaborating, Tonsman. I'm sure Essel will have something to say about that. And the fact that you made 90% of the map, apparently, of that one. You know what I'm talking about.
Essel made about 50% of speed traps.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Essel actually asked me to stop mapping before I finished the map.
That's the sort of shit I'm getting at.
Hey, can you not finish the map? I'd like to contribute to it.
Yes, absolutely. Monochrome mapping project was initially conceived as a way to sort of show great layouts and maps that function very well, that have a unique aesthetic, and that they are consist of one or two colors.
I think that's a very excellent project idea, and I think that going back to what we discussed about 1024 and 1994 tune-up is another example of a project that I think many people are just going to make a map that technically meets the project criteria without trying to do anything interesting with it.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there are some maps that sort of cater specifically to the idea of having, you know, two colors features. I'm guessing there's going to be a chessboard map in there somewhere. There must be, or some sort of a psychedelic spin top map. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, if the original idea of it was to sort of highlight good map layout and good map flow, I don't think that many people are going to keep that in mind when they're making that.
I don't think that you need a monochrome mapping project to point that out. That should be just generic with whatever map you make. But the concept of a very simplistic map, going back to Interception, Phobos Deimos' maps, they were all pretty much candidates for that project because they used very few textures, and I thought they were great maps. I really enjoyed playing them, and them not changing them to honor his, you know, passing away, actually made them really stand out as maps, and I think they're a great example of... I think they're a really great example of being able to make good maps simply for, you know, here's a bunch of maps that have one or two textures in them, and they're interesting, so go play them. Okay, cool, that's a cool concept. I don't think they need to specifically exist to make mappers think more about layout so much as if the map's good, it's going to be a good map, and it'll have an interesting color scheme to it.
Sure. Tango, are you clued in? That's what this project's all about?
The monochrome mapping project?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I was interested in it for the first few days it was up, and I tried making something myself, but that went horribly wrong, so...
Wow. Was it difficult to map for something, or just you lost patience?
No, I think it was just a result of my lack of completion of anything. But concept-wise, I think it is interesting that it's supposed to shift the focus to just layout and less visuals, because I think I've done that myself before, years before the monochrome mapping project, and that really helped me, I think. I mean, sometimes I feel like the textures that I'm working with, or the textures that I have in mind, might limit what I will come up with in my head and what I will put down on on the map. So if
I guess you were at home in Baxter and Lexton, which had more diamond flaps than you could shake a stick at.
Yeah,
damn those diamond flaps. But you know what? I don't have really much of any interest in contributing to that project. But I imagine if I did, I wouldn't be that bad at it, for the simple reason that I hate texturing. I despise the process. Maps will sit on my hard drive for months on end simply because it's all start and to, everything else is complete, the lighting, the layout. I've probably playtested it about 100 times, but everything is start and to, or whatever other default texture I haven't set. That would be a dream for me. But I'm otherwise to participate in that project, but I'm otherwise disinterested. I think it's a good idea. I wish it all the best. I will play it and probably enjoy it, actually. But no, beyond that, I stand aside.
Yeah, it's actually probably one of the projects I'm looking forward to the most, simply because I want to see what people do, and, you know, I have no doubt that there'll probably be a couple really great maps in there. I mean, you know, 1024 had Null Space, or whatever the first one was called.
Yes.
F32. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, where people really make good use of the concept, and mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to hopefully playing those. If there, you know, if there aren't any, I'm going to be disappointed, but hopefully playing the few maps that really take the concept. I know there will be people who I'm going to make a map, and it's going to be two colors, and I'm not going to do anything interesting with it.
Sure. Yeah, there will be those people. And speaking of 1022, really, there were 3 megawatts for that. 2 primary and 1 overflow megawatt. And my biggest problem with that, of course, was the people who didn't use the space intelligently, which is something I know that actually was pointed out to me by Essel until I realized that actually that's something I agree with. It's just, rather than let's see how I can use the space intelligently, let's see how much shit I can cram into this space. Unfortunately, that let it down in my eyes. But yes, maps like Null Space or Nova Scotia robots. Those maps certainly did make intelligent use of the space, and they were maybe happy to play through them.
Absolutely, and I think that's a community project. You know, some people, well, I'm not going to bother with the community project. I really do, even though, you know, I'm hypocritically, will just, I'm not interested in contributing to that. Sorry, bye. People like Zane, who always will make a map for something no matter what. I mean, there are projects he won't contribute to. But, you know, people who... The great mappers who will just, I'm going to contribute to that just to contribute to that, always make the, like, some really good standout maps. And when it comes to heavy concept stuff like that, the people who make the great stuff and the heavy concept stuff, I really appreciate those maps that I think they do make the project worth it. Even if it's, you know, 28 really bad maps and then 2, you know, great maps, I think the project that got them to make those 2 great maps, you know... That's how they got those maps. So, yeah, they could have released them on their own, but they wouldn't have without the, hey, make a map that fits this criteria.
Thunderpeak. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Tourette's. I don't know what made me say that. I don't actually have Tourette's, by the way. But along this line of thinking, I mean, these map sets aren't on the list, although one of them is recent. Would you think One Tag Project, do you think that has... interesting potential in the same way that monochrome mapping or 1022 might do?
No,
not so much.
No, simply because there's a point where you limit yourself too much to where it's like, what can you really do? I mean, One Tag, a lot of people don't really use dynamic features in their maps to begin with, to the point where limiting them to One Tag... people are just going to, like, forcibly find a way around it. I forget whose map it was, but their map pretty much played like any old map, except they got around the One Tag by just having every action tagged that One Tag. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd raise a platform, and it would do something, and then it also functioned as a lift later in the map, where if you hit that switch and went back to the first raising platform, that platform now functioned as a lift, too. Mm-hmm. So they just, you know, as lazily as possible, just tagged everything with that One Tag. So they technically still made a map called One Tag.
It's interesting, though, because one of the most popular and well-received projects is Sector. Sector 10. 10 Sector. 10 Sector, that's right. That's what it's called. There might have been another one as well, which, as the name implies, you limit yourself to 10 sectors, and that turned out rather well, apparently. I haven't actually played through it, but...
I haven't played 10 Sector.
But, I mean, just hearing about it without having played it yourself... I imagine you wouldn't think that as much potential either, right?
No, because from what I understand about 10 sectors is 10 sectors kind of had the we're going to cheat it, whereas sectors were only the major rooms. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, again, you have, you know, work within the confines. Mm-hmm. That it's not you have 10 sectors, figure it out. That obviously would be way too limiting. And I think that's with One Tag, you know, you are working with something where you can't, you know, okay, this is the broad definition of what this limit actually means. You know, like monochrome mapping project, it's, you know, one or two color themes, or one color theme technically with one or two textures. It's not every texture has to be black or white.
Sure. Tango, you played, you must have played 10 sector, right?
I did, back in the day. and I was but a little boy. And but I wasn't impressed at the time.
You were? Okay.
I don't remember much about it, but as Essel is saying in IRC right now, it is the map. The maps themselves are only 10 sectors. It's not limited to 10 rooms or anything like that.
I forgot to include that in the list. We must talk about 5 rooms. Fire right. Room project. Which I was searching around on WODs and MOBs and seeing what else I've missed, because I know I missed some. There were just so many community projects. Sure mm-hmm. enough, One Tag was one of them. 5 Rooms was another. I mean, that's another sort of limiting concept, which falls into this long discussion that we're having at the moment. Townsman, I'm not sure if you're agreeing with that as being a sort of interesting
Five Rooms of Doom is another one, like one map project that I think limits itself too much. Mm. I think there could be potential for some really great Five Rooms of Doom.
Interesting to note, again on the same lines, because there are a heck of a lot of these limiting sort of projects. One of the most popular ones, and I think if you actually list the threads in Words and Odds by replies, you probably get this one second to top after, yay, doing the way it did, is the One Monster Mapping Project. Now, I wasn't around at the time. I think Dr. Zinn or something, if that's his name, was...
Yeah, that was him. Yeah,
he was behind that one. I'm not sure how that kicked off to the extent that it did, but it did. Perhaps Tango will be able to remember that a lot better than I will. I can't remember it. I wasn't there.
I don't remember it very well. I think when I did play it, it bored me as much as I... It got old as quickly as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Which was... I think I made it a few levels in, and then I skipped around to other levels to see if anything looked especially pretty. But I don't remember being particularly impressed.
Mm.
Which I think is in part just due to the limits, the nature of the limits themselves.
Mm.
I don't know how far you can go with one monster in a single map.
Honestly, you'd think... I could be wrong in saying this, but it seemed to me to be a pretty massive gap between one monster's being released and then other community map sets of the limiting variety.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I suspect maybe there's some sort of lesson that happened, like, after the release of that project and how mediocre it turned out to be. Again, I'm using that word. People thought, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Because there were a heck of a lot of people involved in it. I imagine it must have had some sort of effect. But again, I wasn't there. Oh. Anyway, so the consensus for Monochrome Mapping Project is something we're looking forward to. Let's talk about Switcher Room briefly, which has only recently been created, like probably in the last 2 weeks, I think, and which has already had map slots filled out and several submitted for it. Honestly, these things fill up and complete so bloody quickly. it's pretty crazy. What do you think about that one, Tonsman?
I think it's an interesting idea, as long as it's not just, hey, we're going to retexture this map. I think if it's, actually to make a map that feels... I haven't really looked at that.
Sure. But
when somebody says, like, I'm going to make E1 M1 as E3 M1, I think it needs that feel like a Peterson.
Sure.
Like, just...
There's actually a mapping project, community project on the Zedium forums called, I think it's Fusion Mapping?
Mm-hmm.
Fusion is joining, Fission is separating, yeah. Fusion mapping, there you go. So, which does precisely that, which is different from what you're describing here, which I think actually is just switching the textures around and maybe modifying it a little bit, but basically keeping the same map, rather than pulling a Plutonia, except that rather than merging the style of one map with a Plutonian style, a new style, you're just merging two separate maps and taking their concepts and meddling together. That sounds more interesting to me than what Switcher Room is as a concept, which is just texture mashing and placing one in another episode. I'm not interested in it. I'm not particularly looking forward to it, I have to say. I was interested to a point until I discovered that that's what it actually was. I played a couple of maps that didn't interest me at all, I'm afraid to say. That's the end of that on my front. It's got nothing else to say on it.
No, if that's how all it is, I don't find it that interesting either. I like the concept of a switch room as if you were actually, pulling a Plutonia, just, Or I've said I'd like to see a Doom 2 the way it did if John Romero did E2 and E3 and Sandy Peterson did E1.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Stuff like that is where I think like something like switch room would be an interesting concept if... Not just, I'm going to retexture a map with these textures, because it just doesn't... Very rarely does just simply slapping new textures on a map change it all that drastically.
Tango, do you object? do you stand up and say, I object? That was rubbish. Do you, we're not in a courtroom. Do you disagree? I could have just said that.
Do I disagree with what the premise of the project, you mean? Or?
Well, with our saying that it's not really up to snuff is not particularly interesting.
Yeah, I would feel the same way. I think if I, like I said before, I'm not particularly fond of any of the IWOD maps, and I think I would need something more drastic to make me go and play, you know, E1 M1 with Episode 3 textures or vice versa. I would need something more to warrant me playing those, I think.
Would you look more kindly upon the fusion mapping process that's on the ZDM? Merging concepts rather than just text swapping. Again, it's the same thing. You're just dealing with different IWODs, so I imagine you wouldn't be that interested. But
yeah, that sounds like... I mean, to me, that sounds like more of a new experience than what this project is trying to do. So, yeah, I would be a little bit more interested in that. Maybe not as interested in something completely new, like... I don't know, a new Eric Alm megawatt or anything like that. But I would be more interested, certainly.
Okay, we have two heretic... We're nearing the end of our list now, by the way. You may or may not be glad to hear. We have two heretic map sets being created at the moment. One of them, of course, as we all know, is HPAC, headed by Mr. Gimmer, also known as Tormentor667. And that's been in production and has stagnated at various periods for the last... I don't know, it must be about 4 years now or something like that. Or maybe that's just three. We've all played ZPAC, I'm sure. Let's talk about that one first, and then secondly, HIM Heretic, the new project, which is going on at the moment in Doom World. What do we think about HPAC? Do we think anything about HPAC? Do we have an opinion?
I don't think Heretic.
Are we just aghast? Just sure to sit at the desk.
I don't like Heretic at all. In fact, until I saw you play Curse of Despero, which actually does look pretty good, Heretic just doesn't interest me. I don't like the weapons. I don't like the monsters. I don't like the textures. So the concept of HPAC is one of those things where I don't even have an opinion on it because I don't like the game it's for. So it's like somebody made a mod for Big Rigs Over the Road Racing. Okay, you know, I don't have an opinion on that because I don't play it, so...
I would hope that you don't feel exactly the same way about Heretic that you do about Big Racing.
Yeah,
Heretic is just... mediocre.
We don't need to get into that now, Tonsman, but thanks for that. but I mean, there's a heck of a lot of things we could discuss about Heretic. HPAC, about its development process.
It's been going for a long time.
It's been going for a heck of a long time, and many people have said that you know, kill your darlings. I think is the expression Tormentor. Just cut down the size of the number of the maps that you're asking for. Because he's asking for five episodes in total. I think it's like 11 or 12 maps apiece. Including or excluding, I can't remember, secret maps. There's a heck of a lot of maps. I think half of them are by Shadesmaster. So at least you've got someone on there who's dedicated with like his maps. But, I mean, do you really think you should cut his maps down, I imagine?
I haven't seen much of the project recently. But from what I do know, it's come a long way from what it first looked like to me. At first, it seemed like just another Z-Pack with maybe a few gems here or there, but the rest of it full of Z-Doomisms.
Sure.
I mean, if you can get five full episodes of Heretic maps, then why not, I guess? Same thing, this is back to Saturn X. If you get people to make 60 high-quality maps, then fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but of course, it's people worried that it's filling up that number for the sake of filling up that number, but they're struggling to fill it, so it's very much a different story.
Yeah.
With Batset and X, you know, they had too many maps, and they mm-hmm. resorted to having
right,
that number.
Right, that's true.
Yep.
To where, what, E1's 24 maps, E2's 27 maps, and E3's 32.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's because, again... mapping, you know, just, hey, make maps. That was the, you know, elitist Back to Saturn X mapping standard was make maps, and people made maps. Whereas with, yeah, trying to fill something out just for the sake of having, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with something being short. You know, a map project doesn't need to be 32. Or a map project, you know, if somebody runs out of ideas, just stop making maps, release 20 or whatever, and fill, you know, filling something out just for the sake of filling something out is going to lead to a lot of filler maps that,
by definition, yeah.
That's literally what they are. It's, I made this map because we needed another map. Now, if somebody obviously, hey, guys, I have this really good idea, I'm going to make another map,
It's also extremely daunting to present that sort of task, and that's just going to discourage people. I mean, as perhaps was with the case of Baxter Next, and certainly was the case with some others, you know, if the, you can snowball enough enthusiasm for something, and then you can get to a point and turn around and say, we climbed a mountain. Oh, that's cool. Whereas, you know, if you're standing at the foothills going, hey, guys, look up. Hey, turn around. Look up there. Look. It's a mountain. You want to climb that? No. I couldn't be fucked. No. It's really, really tall, but we can get to the top. No. I'm not doing that. That's pretty much the case with H-Pack, I feel, at the moment. Torment is clapping his hands, pointing at the peak and saying, yep, there it is. Climb it. And everyone's just, you know, stood there in their Wellingtons and their backpacks going, no. Except for Shadesmaster, he's sprinting up the slopes. That's really the cause behind its stagnation. I think we can all agree with that. But I'm still looking forward to it, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, if somebody can make, you know, I gotta play Curse of Disferal now, but if somebody can make Heretic interesting, by all means, that's a great challenge, and I applaud them for making me like something I don't find, not even bad, just not good, so absolutely, by all means, make an HVAC, and hopefully, you know, even if most of them suck, if there's a Thunder Peak, good job.
I'm sure. I've actually seen a map in there by Jez. Jez. Whichever you prefer.
Jez.
Quite impressive. Jezebel. Sorry, that was rather uncalled for. I do apologize for that effeminate version of the name. That looked very impressive. It was a large floating island in the blue, so I'll look forward to play that one specifically, if nothing
else. I think Icy Tracks also recently posted some screenshots. Yeah.
Screenshot. Mm-hmm. A whole series of them.
So yeah, absolutely. I definitely would say it's something that I hope turns out very well, and if they need to fill maps just to fill maps, I think they should just release it without, you know... It doesn't need to be 5 episodes if they only have 4 episodes worth of content.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you don't care in particular, therefore, about him, which is the vanilla or all limit removing, I think, Heretic mapping project that's in development at the moment, which has gained some following, I guess. Though I you wouldn't be blamed for thinking or anticipating that it wouldn't particularly snowball that much popularity. I mean, we saw Heretic Treasure Chest, I think, a couple of years ago be released, and that sort of forgotten about. I guess it's been swept under the rug almost, I feel like.
I didn't even know that existed.
There you go. Case in point.
That got completed?
Yes. I've had it on my hard drive and played through it for a while. Yeah. It was comme ci, in my opinion, and extremely forgettable. Again, with a few gems in there. Which just reinforces my point that I don't particularly like jumping on board to community projects if I don't think it's going to get a lot of coverage, and that would be one of those examples. If I was going to map for Heretic, I'd either do my own thing, go the road of Cursor to Spiral, something small, or I would jump onto something like HPAC, which I anticipate would get a lot of coverage, even for the size. So there you go. I'm anticipating HPAC, but they're not specifically the other one. So what else do we have on the list here? We have... Panophobia, which I can't comment too much on, to be perfectly honest, because I took my eye off the ball recently, and I think it's been something in the state. It's been stagnating as well. But the idea behind that one, of course, was to base maps around certain fears. Fear of blood, fear of heights, fear of falling, fear of cucumber. I don't know. I'm not sure that exists.
It probably does. There's phobias for everything. But I think that, like, fear of blood and stuff like that, Panophobia is a project that, concept-wise, yeah, okay, that's a good concept. You know, I have to make a map that is all about blood. But at the same time, playing through probably a very rough beta, that was really bad, to be honest. There were two maps that I thought really stood out, and actually were pretty great maps.
That's not bad, considering it's only like 11 maps in total or something. Am I right?
Yeah, but then there were other maps that were just absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like 1994, but so big they're breaking the block map. Horrible. Hmm. But the two maps that really stood out to me in that map set were one made by Pablo something, the guy who made Alien Vedetta map 21. I thought the map was unfinished when I first played it, but no, the concept was just a map with no monsters, and it's a really great map, like just architecturally, layout-wise, it's a really, and it only uses the stock Doom 2 textures, but it makes a really good city map, and I'd actually really like to see it released separately with monsters, and it just does a fun little gameplay. And the other one was a very sunderous, if that can be used to accurately.
You can, and I definitely approve of this word.
It was a very sunderous or sunderesque vertical map based around the Fear of Heights, I believe. Actually, there's another map by that same author that I kind of liked, but didn't think it's as well.
Fiend of Hell? Is that the guy you're thinking of? Is that him?
It might be. It was like one of the final maps in it. It was this tall vertical climb up a cliff. I thought that was a really good map. He also did one that was like the Fear of the Dark, I think it was supposed to be, or maybe Fear of Isolation. I didn't think that it was whatever its original fear was very well, but it was a very dark map with stuff firing at you from the edges, and I thought that was a pretty okay map. But the rest of them.
There was a discussion that broke out on the forum, on the thread for that project, which I think 40 Answers present and gave his opinion or his objection to the idea of bringing in SourcePort features as a way to sort of properly flesh out the maps in order to realize the sort of the fear of concept. For example, you know, fear of heights include fall damage. There could actually be consequence you're falling, otherwise, you know, that entire thing wouldn't work. And in a way, I can see how that would be a benefit to the project, although of course you'd have to make it exclusively Xenoblade, and I'm not sure how far along the project's come that would be a good idea at this stage. That can no longer be done. This is early in its development. But at the same time, it's true to say that, you know, vanilla mapping breeds creativity, and that you'd still be able to properly formulate a map, realizing the whole idea, a fear or something.
They're limit removing.
Limit removing. Okay, fine.
Absolutely, but more importantly, I think the concept of the maps, something just Fear of X, works fine. Just the concept of Fear of Heights doesn't need fall damage. It just needs, I need to make a map that's really tall to really accentuate the fear of heights.
Sure.
And, you know, that works. It's just this is my goal, this is what I need to make, how can I do it?
Very well. You familiar with this project, Tarzan? That tongue is still twisted.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm skimming through the maps right now.
Oh.
I think this is Pablo Ditter's map that I'm playing. It's this beautiful city. Anyway, I like the concept.
Urban environments.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Something like that.
I used to have a fear of getting on buses when I was a kid. I didn't like crowds. I've since overcome that, mostly because I was shoehorned into living in London for a short while. That's pretty much it. Tangent aside. But yes, is it something that you're looking forward to being completed? Granted, that could be a while.
Yeah, it looks like it's been pretty dead recently. I think, yeah, concept-wise, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just a matter of executing it, as Tarnsman was saying. And I think some phobias, obviously, would lend themselves to better maps than others, like Fear of Cucumbers would probably not fare very well.
Fear of Cucumbers would be awesome.
But, I think this map seems to be some sort of Fear of Spiders, maybe? So Fear of Spiders or Fear of Heights would work well in Doom. Fear of Blood, obviously. Concept-wise, I approve, and I am looking forward to it.
Very good, then. Last on the list is actually, I've put these into one, even though they're two separate projects entirely, because I thought that in discussing one, it would almost lend itself to discussing the other. And previously, when I did the interview with Jimmy, he was worried about, you know, should I or should I not have brought this up? Please don't release the interview. I need to have a word with Mechadon before it's affirmed that this is we're actually about to discuss this. Unfortunately, Megadon said yes, so we can go ahead and talk about Splice and Velopax. Again, two separate projects. Now, Tonsman, I love Velopax. I love it to death. I'm not actually to death. I wouldn't kill or die in order to play. Not that I could. Oh no, that's not what that phrase means. But Velopax, do you like it or do you just?
I like it on the whole. Mechadon is probably him and Vader are probably tied for my favorite mappers. So I really like playing Mechadon stuff. I love his map design. I love his gigantic scale. My biggest problem with Velopax is Mechadon just really gets carried away, and it's kind of like an entire map set of the Sistine Chapel. You know, when it's the one map that's the Sistine Chapel, it's like, oh my god, this is amazing. But after a while, it's like, oh, it's definitely something that really should not be continuously played. It's definitely a map set that you play a map.
I don't think you physically could anyway, unless you knew the optimal routes to go through and you somehow managed to speedrun it in, I don't know, 6 hours instead of the usual 200. Like that. But look, I mean, I would ordinarily agree with you. I've always said in the past that, you know, when it comes to stuff like Slaughter map sets, like Slaughterfest 2012, 2013, Slaughter maps only operate really best when there's interjecting other maps of different styles in order to break up the pace and make for a better overall experience like that. But, I don't know, in this case, it's only 6 maps long. They're super massive, and so, I don't know, it's like you can sit down, play one, and then not come back to it until, I don't know, 2 days later or something like that. And I think that really helps. I don't know, it feels polished and complete. It's not out yet, obviously, but it feels polished. And it feels like it will be complete and nicely boxed into its own little style. I like it.
I didn't know it was going to be only 6 maps. I thought it was going to be like a full episode.
Oh, God. Oh.
I was kind of like, the first 5 maps that I did play are fucking amazing. And I love Mechadon's maps. And, yeah, just amazing. And just everything about them, I'm with you, that I just loved it. And I was just, you know, how daunting more than 6 maps that would be. As now that I know that it's only 6 maps, that kind of changes my opinion quite a bit. That, yeah, fine, go for 6 maps and just absolute no hold barred, look at what I made, how just massive this is, just accept it. Like, all right, that's awesome. Thanks, Mechadon.
Tango?
I think I idolize Mechadon in a lot of ways because he's got such a good handle on making layouts that flow well and doing new interesting things visually, but sometimes the sizes of his maps are intimidating and somewhat of a turnoff because I know the first time when I was playing Velopax, you know, I spent however long playing halfway through map one and then I died. And I didn't have saves, which is obviously my own fault, but I don't know. When I'm spending, I do enjoy long maps. I like Alien Vendetta's map 20. But as playing something as huge as those maps get sometimes is a little bit, I think it's a little bit much for me. But that just boils down to what I prefer. But I think in just about every way, Mechadon is an excellent mapper, and he understands everything, essentially.
Fantastic. And how clued in are we on Splice and its process at the moment? Because I understand it's a collaboration between Mechadon and Jimmy, who have always bounced off each other fairly well behind closed doors, work-wise. So, I mean, honestly, that's something that I'm surprised how much I'm looking forward to that, despite that I've know absolutely next to nothing about it, other than that it has a replacement rifle, which is blue on one side.
Are there any screenshots or anything like that?
I'm fairly certain, yeah. There is a thread that doesn't get bumped very often some ways back that recently resurfaced, I think, to post some screenshots and give an update on it. But, yeah, no, you have to go rummaging around for that one. I think I'm mentioning more to raise people's awareness of the fact that it exists, and you should get excited because it exists. It's going to rock your world.
Yeah, right now that's pretty much all I know about it, that it exists and that I'm looking forward to it because it exists.
Very good.
it's Mechadon and Jimmy Mass. I'm automatically looking forward to it.
Yes. Yes, a wondrous combination. So those are all the... I've probably missed a few. I must have missed a few. There were some that I didn't list and they remembered on the spot. But those are most of the projects that either have been released very recently, the more notable ones, or are being released, or coming out, or being in development at the moment. So I imagine we'll have this sort of set up quite a long ways in the future, either discussing the projects that today have been discussed, sort of foreshadowing their release, and perhaps in future we'll be talking about them as they've been released and also talking about future projects as well. So that's a fine setup. I quite like what we've done here today. So drawing to a close, is there anything I've missed?
The final point of highly selective recruitment process that Tango wanted to touch on for Back to Saturn X.
Oh, right. That's right. Processing controls comment.
Oh, right, yes.
But
I'm actually, just while you're digging that up, just like to thank Processing Control again for giving us that.
Yes, for a great big list with quite a few good... Yes.
And also apologize not for cluing you in as to what today's discussion would be, so you could ship in some things for me to read out. Not that you would. Never fucking do. But please do. It, I don't know. It would make it so much more enjoyable to listen to. I think so much more official. The impression I get. Anyway, Tango. Still tracking it down, huh?
No, oh, I got it. Would you like me to read it off?
Oh, please do.
He says, is the highly selective recruitment process for and top secret discussions of the Back to Saturn X team necessary for the creation of such a big project, or just an example of elitism? And as we mentioned earlier, he says, having a non-Back to Saturn X member being part of the conversation would obviously make this more balanced. But I guess we can provide our biased opinions anyway.
Go ahead.
Okay, fine. I don't think in the case of Back to Saturn X, at least, it wasn't the fact that it's place for discussion and sharing maps and things like that. The fact that it's a separate form wasn't intended to be, an example of elitism. It was more convenient when you have as many mappers as Back to Saturn X has posting as many different maps as we have, with over like 60 maps. If we were to try and do all that on something like Doomworld, that would be out of control, because we have, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of posts just on that, on the Back to Saturn X forums alone. So, like, of course, we could have opened the Back to Saturn X message boards up to the public, but I don't really see, I don't see the point in that personally, because we have everything that we need. We have playtesters, we have mappers, and we have artists, and we have musicians. So I think we have a balanced group of people on the boards, and we don't need community input.
And one has to acknowledge the benefits of having a sort of team environment anyway. Not to sort of shun the idea of it being opened up to the community. I'm sure that many benefits would come there if that approach was to be made. But if you're really looking for someone who isn't part of the Back to the Next team, who's sort of lame, I'm half there. I'm sort of put into the process, but I can speak about it, more objectively, I think, than others. And just from standing back in that position, I always think that taking the team approach is the superior option in almost all circumstances. And that even goes for many, though not probably most, of the community projects that are going on at the moment. I think they would function better behind closed doors.
With Back to Saturn X, first off, the highly selective recruitment process, of which Pavera's inclusion into the project was literally, hey, Essel, can I make a map? Here it is. Okay, thanks, Pavera. And pretty much everybody else's inclusion in the project was, hey, would you like to make a map?
Right.
Which, I guess by today's standards, would be highly selective, but compared to, like, Network 2, where you actually had to submit a test map before you
could yes. Let's not forget that. Bloody hell.
Before you could even be considered for the project. I think that Back to Saturn X did not have a very...
You have to sit an exam to enter into math for... Really? Yes. It's astounding. I kind of like that. I kind of like it.
Back to Saturn X's mapping process was just... Make a good map? Okay, thanks. If your map's
also, I mean, you point out there that it wasn't necessarily pre-selected. But many of the mappers on board were simply like-minded anyway and just appreciated other people's work. And they sort of naturally just coalesced into a sort of team rather than, you know, sort of were hand-picked. Again, that could be wrong, but that's the impression I get standing from the sidelines, the layman that I am.
Yeah, and then another thing with Back to Saturn X, in, is it really necessary for it to be in little, you know, cordoned off private forums? Yeah, I think that one of the greatest things about team projects is that you get a more pure product. For good or for worse, you know, the end product is going to be more pure than if it had community input the whole way through.
Sure.
And so I think that's the benefit of having, you know, closed forums, is that you get an end result that, you know... despite whether or not you like it, is more the team's original vision. And, I mean, yeah, there are aspects of Back to Saturn X development that is blatant elitism. There were maps that, hey, your map isn't quite up to snuff with the rest. Member X is just going to rework it. Do you mind? And, you know, the thing that I really liked about Back to Saturn X is that there were so many people who were more concerned with making an end product than their individual, you know, I'm willing to give up this in my map, you know, to gel better with the end product.
Sure. I think this is probably a good place to close off. Tango, do you have anything else to add? Perhaps? Mayhem?
I do not believe so.
You don't believe so? Then that is so awesome. I mean, the fact that we can close off, not that you don't have anything. that's quite unfortunate. thank you very much for tuning in to this third episode of Program Build. It was supposed to be episode 4. We'll get to the discussion on multiplayer very, very soon indeed. Perhaps even tomorrow. So again, if you have any rants, ravings, blitherings, blatherings, so forth, you want to submit, do so by PM to me. Just to sort of hone it in a little bit, myself and Tarnsman are fully familiar with the inner workings of the multiplayer scene. But there are nonetheless still things that we can discuss with our limited knowledge, let's say. Jew is more of the expert on that front, so we'll be able to discuss some sort of inner workings, but we'll also be looking to bring it back to relationships with the other parts of the Doom community, why they're so segregated, why is interest in deathmatch sort of waning? Is it really waning as much as we think it is? These sort of things. So if you want to submit anything along those lines, do so. Super. Other than that, this has been Program B Episode 3, joined by our guest, Tank, and regular host, Tonson. Also, keep an eye out for the ear out, indeed, for the interview. Thank you very much, and adieu.